Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse, and I am your host. Let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, hail and hello there, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. And thank you. Yeah, you right there. I see you bought your front row tickets to the show this week. And it's a good one for you to have bought front row tickets, too. I appreciate that. For anybody who's wondering about front row tickets, there are none. It's just you got to show up for the premiere. So if you're here for the premiere, I am very thankful for that. I know it's an early morning for a lot of folks here on Thursdays, but it is appreciated when you guys tune into the premiere, and it's just genuinely appreciated overall. But no, don't worry, guys. There's no like buy an advance ticket to get, you know, the front seat of the show or anything quite like that. Today's show is going to be about Loki veneration. What's up with this Loki veneration thing, this Loki worship? Why is it so controversial in a lot of heathen communities? We're going to talk about it today with Tyler Vasquez, it's been a while since he has been on my channel. I don't think he's been on the podcast. If he has, it's been a long time, probably been several seasons ago, at least two. I know that he had been on a couple of live streams over the years, once or twice. But yeah, this topic actually came to me through Tyler, because he was in a Facebook group or something. Well, yeah, let me just knock over my vape. he was in a Facebook group or something where the topic came up, and he was hoping to get my thoughts on it. And I thought, well, I'll do a podcast on it. You know, I've got thoughts, and that's what a podcast for me is sharing my thoughts many times. And then he's like, I could probably say a few things about it too. And I'm like, well, then come on the show, buddy. You know, Tyler and I have been friends now for, I don't know, we've never like physically met in person. We've just been online, you know, friends for several years. I don't remember exactly when he and I first connected on social media, but he lives not too terribly far away from me in another state, in the state of Kentucky. So he's just a bit north and east of me. But we're going to talk about that today. We're going to bring him on here in just a moment. Before we do, please be sure to check the Linktree link in the description or show notes of this podcast and follow me along on all of my socials. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter. I don't do much on Twitter these days. It seems to be a dumpster fire over there on that platform. And I never got much traction with it anyway, so why bother trying to start now? But if you are on Twitter, give me a follow. I do try to share stuff, cross-post things on my socials. But I am the most active here on YouTube, of course, and the Facebook and Instagram platforms, or as they call it, Meta. Now. So yes, I am Meta involved. But anyways, there's also a Linktree. There's also a Spring store in the Linktree link for you where you can buy my merchandise. You can become a patron on Patreon. And there's a number of other things down there, I'm sure. So just check it out and see what fits you. And at the very least, please give this podcast an upvote, follow, share, like it, thumbs up, whatever the thing does or asks you to do. It would be appreciated if you do that. Also wanted to call to attention that in a week and a half or so from now, so on September 10th, which is a Sunday here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, myself and Greg Strong of the Raven Moonhearth Kindred are teaming up to teach a heathenry class. It is basically Heathen 101 type stuff, talking about some recommended readings, how we interact with the gods as heathens, you know, some of the basic stuff that a lot of maybe newer folks just interested in coming into heathenry are exploring and wanting to know more about. So, you know, you've got he and I, or him and I, right, English, that's the proper English way, him and I will be, you know, we have collectively, I don't know how long Greg's been. I know Greg has been a pagan of some variety, at least most of his adult life. And I'm going on like 9 years, just shy of a decade here soon. In my heathen practices. So, I mean, we've got at least collectively, you know, several decades worth of experience that we're going to be offering to talk about this this class in. So it's going to be here in Murfreesboro. The event details for that will be linked in the show notes and description as well. So if you're close enough and you want to come out, spend the afternoon with us. It's going to be rain or shine because it is an enclosed, sheltered pavilion. I say enclosed, but it's outdoors, but it is you know, sheltered. So despite the rain, we'll have bathrooms available to us. There's a playground there. If it is a nice day, you can bring your kids, family friendly. You can't bring or have any like alcoholic beverages consuming going on there. So snacks and other beverages are welcome. But anyways, come on out. Murfreesboro, Tennessee, September 10th. I'm going to be there from 3 p.m. till the park or till the pavilion area closes. I think it's like 7 or 8. Plenty of time for us to get to know one another, talk, have a good time, maybe learn some things together. But yeah, we will be there to come on out and be there with us. Aside from that, there's also the Raven Moonhearth Shadow Moot event coming up in just over a month's time, like a month and a half or so from now. The information and details for that will also be linked in the description and show notes. That is in Springfield, Tennessee, and it is a three-day weekend sort of long deal, almost three full days. You know, you can get there Friday and get your camp set up. It is a primitive camping style deal, right? So it's on one of the hearth members' property. So it's, you know, you got to deal with your own camping. There will be outdoor restroom facilities as like porta potties or porta johns, that sort of thing. Vendors, classes, workshops, meals, ritual, you know. I think it's $20 for the day or $45 for the weekend. You know, so if you get there Friday, you can camp Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday's the last day, and they close everything off by lunchtime on Sunday. Or you can just come one day if you want. If you're going to come any day, I highly recommend that you come on Saturday. So again, the dates and stuff will be down in the description, I believe, in the show notes. I believe it's like the weekend of the whatever, October 13th, 14th, 15th, something, somewhere around that vicinity. Again, dates are going to be down there. If I got them wrong or if I'm off a little bit, just check down there and you will see what I'm talking about. So we're going to go ahead and welcome in Tyler here in just a second. In the meantime, enjoy this brief intermission and see what we can talk today about on the topic of Loki veneration. See you guys here in just a minute. All right, guys, gals, boys, gents, ladies, everybody across Midgard, we've got Tyler here. Tyler Vasquez. What's going on, man?
How's it going?
Yeah. Going pretty good. I was talking earlier before you got on here that is this the first podcast you've come on? I know you've been on like some lives that I've done.
I think this is the first official podcast. I did your the one episode a couple years back with Matt.
Yeah. But, it's been a while.
That one was, I think it was just us chatting on live.
Yep. It was like a live stream or something on the YouTube channel. So, but you and I have been connected for about probably 3-4 years now, something like that, I'm thinking. Over the,
something like that.
Long distance, yeah.
Yeah, we communicated through other channels prior to that, but
yeah. But yeah. you're up in Kentucky though, right?
Yes, sir.
The old Kentucky. Old KY. Yeah. That's a good time, so I've heard.
sometimes.
But and you're a heathen yourself, obviously.
Yeah.
The hammer didn't give it away.
No.
Anything else about yourself that you'd like to
I've been a heathen for quite a long time, pagan specifically, but as far as being a heathen, I have officially claimed that path for 13-14 years now.
It's a long time.
Oh yeah. It was while I was in the military, I decided I felt the pull towards that. I got something in my eyes already.
They're called eyeballs, man. They belong there.
I felt the pull while I was in the military, and I decided now's the time to go with that. Cool. But then there was a brief period before that where I experimented with other religions and paths and things like that. But excuse me, I'm going to have to wipe my ass.
There is no excuse for you, Tyler. There's just
I believe you.
But we'll give you a pass.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anyway, yeah, but we, I started with that, and I got real heavy into learning all kinds of different paganism paths and history and just various different things. And I really hit home with the heathenry. And over the last decade or so, I've really dedicated myself to the study and not only just the history of everything, but the lore, the myths, the different practices of not only just like modern day, but like of the ancient heathens, studying the different tribes in the different areas and really getting into the various differences between like Norse and Germanic and going all the way back up to, you know, following my own ancestry and lineage into like Spain with the Visigoths and all that. And
very cool.
So me and my wife now, we're very open about our practices, much to the disdain of our Christian surroundings.
Oh yeah, you too, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. We're still here, and I'm actually working on, like I said, back here, I've got my own background, about to be starting up my own podcast, Wizardly Cowboy. You can follow me on everywhere. That is the same thing. I'm a game developer, writer. I do a lot of things with role-playing games like D&D. White Box specifically is my current game that I play.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. So just a lot of things are coming for in the future. Just all in the works right now. I've got a website up. I've got like 2 posts. So if you guys want to follow me there and look out for the future, that's there. Yeah. But other than that, I do have a poetry book. It's called I actually forgot. I'll get somebody to bring that to me later. But yeah. I do have a book of poetry out. It's called A Call to Deity. And it is a book of various poems from Norse mythos they're all original poems, and from mostly Norse, but there's a few in there that's also tossed in from other religions. I think there's a triple goddess for Wiccans. I think there's There's a couple African deities that somebody had requested. It's all just like requested stuff that people asked me to write for them. So that is something that is that's out there.
Okay, great. So I'm going to anything that you have that you're talking about right now for the folks listening and stuff, the go down to the description or show notes. Anything that Tyler's talking about, his website, his podcast, anything that's live or current, his book, links for all that are going to be shared in the description or show notes. So that way people can find you and support you to whatever degree. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be tuning into the podcast, man, whenever you, whenever you got it up. And
I'm definitely hoping to get one up this weekend. So keep an eye out, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, that's good, man. So it sounds like you're a busy guy. So we got today's topic that came to the show through you.
Oh yeah.
You hit me up about it, and you know, we were able to figure out off the cuff, really, just shoot from the hit. Hey, you want to come on the podcast with me about it? Because originally I was like, oh, I'll talk about it. But Loki veneration and the controversy behind it in heathenry, right? What's the big freaking deal anyway, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But so you had, I guess you had engaged in a conversation in a Facebook group, I'm assuming, with some people. And you had sent me some screenshots of the exchange. And I, from the looks of it, there were some pretty, I'll just say, like, toxic approaches to the responses that were being given. I didn't see, of course, see the whole thread, but was that kind of the nature of or the gist of it? You want to elaborate without going into too much detail, or kind of?
What it was an adventure for myself.
Going on an adventure,
just like any you know, internet discussion, it
quickly
got way out of hand. You know, one person said something that another person didn't like, and it was, you know,
was it on the topic of Loki?
Yes, it was. The initial question, just paraphrasing off the top of my head, was, the person had always felt pulled to worship Loki, and what was the general consensus on worshiping Loki, and what the feelings were among the community that that people had, the opinions of people that worship Loki, like what are the opinions that the community has towards those people, and what the deal was with the negative connotations that came with it. So my response to that was a generalization. And I'm not talking like sweeping statement. I said, in general, a majority of the community often feels that, that volatile nature towards people who, worship Loki or feel affinity towards Loki, because of the people who do, the nature of the people who do worship Loki. And that is, again, that is a broad sweeping statement. I know for a fact not everybody who worships or venerates Loki is this edgelord who's looking to cause problems as quickly as possible. I get it. But I think the biggest problem is you've reached a point where anyone who feels as if they're outcasted from society wants to feel affinity for Loki, and it is a, they feel that pull, they try to feel that connection, but it's because they've, and this is again probably a generalization, but in my experience it has been a lot of the pull is towards the Marvel character Loki and not necessarily the I say factually correct, but I mean mythologically correct Loki.
Yeah.
From
the stories. You know, the stories.
So they feel this veneration towards a charming,
charismatic,
misunderstood, yeah. You know, misguided, outcasted character rather than the blatant wrongdoer that we see in the story, that we see in the lore. We see, you know, he knew, even in the story with Balder, you know, things like that, he knew these things were going to happen. He may not have known that it would have killed him, but he still knew that he was intentionally going out of his way to cause harm.
Yeah.
And that's not typically the people who feel veneration towards Loki. I don't feel like they're after to cause harm. They're not doing it to cause harm. But there are a lot of people who do feel that way.
I see.
And I think that's where a lot of the toxicity and hatred and the disdain for Loki worshippers does come from.
You know, and I don't know, you know, and it's interesting to get other people's perspective on this. And anytime, I mean, it's kind of like if you want to, as a content creator, you know, from coming from the angle of posting content to keep people engaged, you're almost bound and guaranteed to have a spike in views and engagement when you start talking about Loki, right? It's like it brings everybody out of the woodwork, you know, more so than some of the more prominent gods of the lore and other source material that are actually attested to as being deities that were venerated, you know. Loki just seems to get the spotlight in so many ways whenever he's talked about. And what's interesting is, like, last week's episode, I talked about Sigyn, his wife, and how the devotion, the strength that she had to stay devoted to him, even out of all of the things that he's responsible for and ultimately gets imprisoned for having involvement within, which, you know, when we talk about, like, the lore and the myths, I mentioned in the last week's podcast, and I think it's important to mention here too, is as a general rule, you know, I think anybody with enough miles under their tires that have been doing this for the amount of time, like you or I have been doing it, don't look at the myths as like a Bible, right? We're not, and again, not trying to, like, overgeneralize or use, like, sweeping statements to speak to the entirety of a heathen community. But I think that the more you spend time looking at the historical sources, the actual source material of the Germanic tribes, and then where they migrated north into Scandinavia and what became the Norse countries, you look at the myths a bit differently than you might have initially coming into it, you know. At least it was for me. It's like, I don't do the things that I do based off of what the gods did in the myths, you know? And there is that aspect to this, you know, like I use the term Norse mythology or the mythos. And I mean that, you know, and I've gotten some kickback on that. Call it a religion, call it a faith, because that's what it is. I'm like, it's the mythology is part of the faith. Just like in Christianity, you know, the stories, the myths, the whatever, you know, the books from the Bible. I mean, that's the mythology aspect of the religion.
Yeah.
If you want to just break it down, you know what I mean? And I think every religion has that. So we're talking about specific things pertaining to the religion, and the mythology does not, at least I don't think, in my opinion, should be anything that is referenced to as this is why or how we should do things. There are other source materials that you can go to learn about morals and ethics in terms of taking this from a religious aspect. But we're talking specifically about, like, the Loki thing and how you mentioned people getting drawn to this Marvel character versus the character from the myths. And what's interesting about the myths is, as kind of a roundabout way that I was getting to it, is, you know, Loki gets the shit end of the stick, basically, for killing Balder. But he ain't even the one that did it.
Nope.
You know? Holder is the god killer, essentially. You know what I mean? He's the one that did it. Sure, he was blind, and he couldn't have really done it had not been for Loki's involvement with it. So, but interesting point to take away there is,
yep,
from the mythology aspect. Like, now, there were plenty of other things that he had direct involvement in. I mean, Sif's hair, the building of Asgard, which the wall, I mean, the building of yeah. the citadel, the wall around Asgard, you know, like how the gods
details of the wall.
Yeah, how the gods get how the gods get their magical items. I mean, Brisingamen, Freya's necklace, Gungnir, Odin's spear, or Draupnir, his ring, Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. I'm sure there's others that I'm missing, but he, you know, had it not been for Loki in the myths, the gods wouldn't have some of the trappings and things that they're quite famously known for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I don't know, around here, I've noticed that the majority of folks who are unapologetically, I guess the term would be Lokian, right?
I guess I hate that term.
I mean, you know, if we had to like classify, if we had to put a name to stuff, I mean, you know, yeah. we call ourselves heathens, you know, and then there's other different names and stuff that I guess could go with it. But I've heard the term Lokian. I've heard the term Rokkatru, which kind of goes into more of Loki's offspring,
mm-hmm.
and the veneration.
That's a new one. I've never heard that one.
Really, Rokkatru?
Yeah, that's a new one. I've never heard that.
Yeah. So it's it's the veneration of the chaotic forces. So specifically, folks that are, to my knowledge, you know, that would call themselves like Rokkatru, mm-hmm. are into stuff like Loki veneration, but also any of Loki's affiliates. So Jormungandr, Fenrir, Hel, mm-hmm. Angerboda. I mean, like,
oh, okay.
a lot of the monsters and whatnot of the myths get encompassed in that too. So, but why such a controversy, you think? I mean, aside from the fact that from your experience, you've seen the romanticization of the Marvel character versus what's in yeah. the stories. Like, what makes it so controversial to actual heathens besides that, do you think? If there
this may else? Get this is where things can turn sour for people, but it's the behavior of those people. I think it is there's often a they're so against the grain of going against authority or being that outcast, being the one who is outside of that, the natural order, quote unquote, of things.
The structured order of things, you might say.
The structured order. Yeah, the structured order is probably a better term. They're so willing to do anything and everything within their power to be outside of that structure that it causes that chaos. It causes the disorder. And it often comes from the people who are, I guess, for lack of a better term, Lokian. Again, I'm not saying I believe that's true. I'm not saying I believe that anybody who venerates Loki or worships Loki is out there looking for trouble. But I think there is a stigma to it because of that, because so many people have come from that, especially people who have been now in my personal experience, I've experienced a lot of that. A lot of people who I've met that are, I worship Loki. Loki's my patron deity. They are the ones who are often the edgelords. They're the ones who are often the people out there just to, you know, the screaming everybody else is a snowflake. You know, they're the kind of people who are, you know, I stop being so offended by everything and then run around saying some off the wall crazy stuff. And it's like,
that's interesting, because I've from my again, from where I'm in, of course, we're in different areas, and this is what's really interesting to hear people's takes on stuff, because I'm in one area of the country and you're in a not that far away from me, but another area of the country, so the things you see might not necessarily see the things be the things that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Or experience, but like in our area, I've noticed that folks who are unapologetically Lokian and that have an affinity towards Loki are folks that live an alternative lifestyle or have an alternative approach to their identities and things, you know. So a lot of the LGBTQ community tends to have a higher percentage, for in our area at least, of folks that are fascinated by Loki for the reasons I think that you're talking about, right? Because Loki in the stories, you know what I mean, like
they it's the Marvel character Loki, yeah, that and I'm not if you feel that that is how Loki is in your beliefs, more power to you. 100% I support it. You know, if you really have a divine connection, you feel that you are pulled to Loki for that reason. I've got nothing against you. All love on this side. Don't think I'm sitting here crapping like, on you because you're a Lokian or you believe you venerate Loki more than the other god.
Me either.
That's not what we're I'm trying to get at.
No. Yeah.
But the generalization is, from my experience, I've been.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Other countries, I have been with people from other countries. In fact, my buddy, he's from Florida. He's living in Florida right now. We play D&D all the time. He is a pagan as well. I don't know really his opinions on the things, but I'm sure he could probably tell me completely separate stuff than what either of us are seeing, you know, because that's just, you know, the areas are so different. And I think that's what's beautiful about just about all paganism in general, is there are so many different takes on it. There are so different,
such a wide spectrum, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that is, I think that's what pulls a lot of people towards paganism, especially for spirituality. That spiritual need in human nature is the ability to express oneself through deity in any pagan path. Kind of the key aspect, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. And even if you look at, if it's not the Marvel side of things, you know, if you look at Loki in the stories, he is that necessary change. I mean, he is involved in things that are that, right? Like, so the whole, like, Sif's hair, you know, like, mm-hmm. that was a shitty thing, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. why would you do that? And then the end result of it, you know, is he gets gifts to all of the gods that, okay, I'm sorry, you know, Thor, here's your hammer, and you're up there, like, you know, all the gods get the things again that they're kind of known for. And it's like, you know, you almost go back and you go, I look at the myths in a way as lessons, kind of like how, you know, the fables of Greek, like Aesop's fables, like there was a moral to the story. There was something to be learned in the story. And does any of the of Loki stuff in the stories align with a morality or ethics that existed at the time? You know, like you can't expect to do something against your own people and not have to pay a recompense for it.
Not have to pay a price for it.
And pay a price for it. Like, you can't go against your people and do something of damaging nature and then not expect to be held accountable for it. And then look at ultimately what happens when he, while maybe not necessarily, quote, you know, pulling the proverbial trigger on Baldur, but being so influential and so much a part of what ended up happening, is that was it. Like, dude, you're out now. You're neething. You're outlaw. You're cast out of the society. You're in prison, and there is no, you've killed one of your own. and look at the morality and the ethics that existed at the time. Kinslayers were
pretty
high criminals, you know, and stuff. And you know,
you were outcasted. You were gone.
Right. And if we look at that instead of this, you know, view of the Marvel Loki as this kind of, again, this misunderstood, misguided, you know, charismatic bad guy that you love to hate. And like, there's so much more, I think, about the gods that you could take away from that we actually have information and source material on than to cherry pick and find little things about a lesser god. And let's just say, like, Loki is involved in a lot of things. Like, he's Thor's companion in so many of his, you know, adventures and things in the stories, and he's so influential in making certain things happen in the myths. But like, in terms of finding him in older sources, you know, he doesn't show up prior to the Viking Age. He doesn't show up in any of the Germanic countries of the South. He, you know, that happened, I think, much later on.
A lot of the history is lost to us, and we're never going to know the true ways of old, you know. And I think I think that's something we need to embrace, just in general, as a community, as if we're ever going to get anywhere without at least about the hostilities between different beliefs and things. I think we really need to embrace the idea that religion, regardless of path, faith itself, whatever you want to call it, is an evolving thing. It changes with society. It changes with you. As you grow, you change, much like my story. I began with studying all kinds of different pagan paths and looking at different gods. You know, initially I was like, why am I pulled to all these different deities instead of, you know, what my family's tried to raise me up as a you know, a Christian, as a Baptist. And
yeah,
I never felt connected to that ever. And that's something that they still have a hard time understanding. And I get a lot of flack for my ideas that we should evolve our faiths based on time, and especially from like the recreationists. I'm not trying to knock recreations. I think those guys are necessary. We need recreation. We need people doing the historical digging. We need to find, because if things are found, it needs to be remembered.
Oh yeah, the reconstructionists, historical recons. Yeah, the folks that really. I did a podcast not too long ago with Scott Shell talking about the pros and cons of that, and kind of where we landed on it. Where I wouldn't say like definitively landed, but like one of the things that really stood out were the differences between subjective learning and objective learning, you know, and how academics at large, if you're going to approach this entirely and purely from an academic standpoint, there is no subjectivity allowed. You have to be objective to it. And it's like, well, it's this way or it's not, you know, there's no, in so much of this as a religion, as a folkway, as a living tradition, as a way that you live and breathe and you know, experience life, there has to be that subjective approach to it. You know, you can't just be so cemented into archaeological, literary evidence. You know, like, it's great, you know, to that case in point, like, we're going to talk eventually about Loki's affiliation potentially with one of the days of the week, you know. We're going to get to that here just, you know, at some point, I think, before the episode's over with. But there's some historical stuff that I'm going to reference to that point. You know, spoiler alert, the Germanic tribes didn't use days as time reckoning. There were no days of the week. So stick around to the end of this podcast, folks, because if you want to know what the heck I'm talking about, you're going to have to stick around for that, you know.
The historical, no, you're fine. As far as the historical reconstructionist goes, I was actually on a few years back, I was on another podcast. I won't say the name because the person's not a very good person, we'll put it that way.
I get
they're
it.
They're in prison now. So, I was on there with Ocean Keltoy, and I actually talked to him briefly about it. And one of the things that I had put forth was that the stories themselves, a lot of them were written down much longer or much further off after the end of the Viking Age than what people realize, like hundreds of years after. And sure, we've got
the talking about like Snorri's prose Edda, right?
Yeah,
like
when... Snorri's prose Edda, those things that people thump like a Bible. another person from that same post about the Loki thing got on there and was like, "Well, I don't use anything other than this," and I'm like, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but all of your sources were written by Christians, like."
They were, I mean, yeah.
And it's just something you're going to have to deal with. Like, it's, well, no, this one was written in Old Norse. And I'm like, Old Norse came from Latin, which Latin came from the Christians when they came up there. It was after Christianity had been put in. Like, I don't know how to tell you.
Well, Old Norse is a Germanic language.
Well, the written language is what I was speaking about.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
The actual written...
They translated it into Latin. Or, yeah, they translated it into... Yeah. Yeah, I got you now.
So that was... So, and another thing I got chucked under the bus for was quoting Jackson Crawford, Dr. Jackson Crawford. The general...
Right, because he's not a heathen?
He's not a heathen, so, you know, you can't...
So he must be wrong?
Trust him. He has no idea what he's talking about because he doesn't believe it. I'm like... He's literally one of the prime people I would trust, like one of the people that I would look to for information.
Okay, so I'm gonna put a disclaimer out here for everybody listening and watching, because this is one of them, again, like hot button topics for the reasons that you stated, right? I think Jackson Crawford offers a great source of knowledge when it comes to Germanic language.
Mm-hmm.
The linguistic sides of things. I don't look to him for anything more than that. I think that he knows his stuff because he has a doctorate degree in Norse languages, you know, the Germanic languages. And he's studied abroad, and he's you know, worked in academia to some degree, whether he's, you know, taught at a university or just whatever, you know. He has credentials and stuff that back up, and, you know, suggestions that he knows what he's talking about. I think Scott Shell is another great source for that. And he's a heathen. He's a Saxon heathen. He actually is living the life. He's doing the thing. You know what I mean? So if you want
to... I think that comes back around to what you said. It's good to have different sources of information. It's good to hear other people's perspectives. It's healthy. Even people just I sit and I talk to my stepdad. He's a Baptist preacher. Like, we sit and talk and discuss philosophy and things like that all the time. It's something that is, to me, I find it fascinating. I learn a lot.
And wisdom is wisdom from wherever it comes. I've been a parrot with that phrase. Repeated that phrase a lot on my podcast, but it's not a verbatim quote, but it comes from one of the sagas, the Bandamanga saga. You know, wisdom is wisdom from wherever it comes. That's the general theme of that phrase, right? And so much of what people will shoot down or discredit is that, well, if the information, it could be good information, right? It could be legitimately good information, historically backed, valid information, right? But because so-and-so said it, and because of so-and-so being affiliated with this shit bag or this dirt hole or whatever, all of a sudden that information is negated. It's not valid because of where it came from. And I got to go, you know, look, are we just going to be objective in that way and just go, well, or subjective. You know, are we just going to take what people are saying and not explore for ourselves, not think for ourselves, not have that independent free thinking going on and, you know, learn for ourselves? Or are we just going to take it everybody's word for stuff and be like, well, because so-and-so said we shouldn't listen to that content or watch that video or read this material.
That's not even really thinking at this point. That is just a symptom of modern society. Honestly, that's a completely other topic. We could do a whole other podcast on.
Yeah, true. But
that is something that is just a detriment to society. That people have fallen into the habit of just bandwagoning, really, is what it is. The path of least resistance.
It's become, well, if everybody's saying it, then it must be right.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong. And that's something I've even had to try to instill in my kids lately because they do the same stuff. You know, one kid decides to do something, they're all out there doing it. It's like, no, stop. That's not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a dangerous thing to get involved in, you know? But yeah, like, and it's funny how it kind of almost aligns in a little bit of a way with, the Loki thing, you know, because like you mentioned before, right? People, for whatever reason, you know, bring up this image, this idea of Loki. I mean, the thumbnail for this, like, I've had people yell at me, not like literally yell, but like, they've had people like complain to me, like, what's up with the Tom Hiddleston Loki, you know, look or thumbnail? Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. Like, blame Marvel, I guess, for this, because like I didn't draw the thing. Like, you know,
and even still, what's he supposed to look like? Like,
who the hell knows? You know, we don't have.
Like, I don't think there's any sources of description for Loki. Like, the only thing we've got is that he's supposed to be half giant, and
so are like half of Asgard.
What do they look like? What?
And the giant thing goes back into like. I think a mistranslation of the word Jotun, because Jotun, like that word is cognate to a word that meant eater, consumer. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have any connotation to someone of a giant stature or a bigger than the next person thing. Yeah. Like it, but somehow over the years it's become associated with these like deformed or troll-like or just massive things. Like the Jotun are gods themselves. They're just a different tribe, just like the Vanir are a different tribe. They're all,
since we're on the topic of image of the gods, I think one image of that I really like, and that was probably the closest we've ever had to be inaccurate, was the image of Thor in the God of War game, where he's that big hefty dude, you know. He looks like the strong man. He looks like the modern strong man with the broad bodies, the big heavy. They eat a lot, they drink a lot, but they can also lift a lot. And you're talking, these guys are able to lift 100 pounds, like world record, make it 1,000 pound deadlifts and stuff like that. And it's like, you're not going to get that with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
The body, like, that's just not how that works. And Thor is supposed to be this.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be this strong.
The strongest of the gods.
So you get this image that's supposed to be, but because he looks what most people consider fat, they won't throw the image. Well, that's not realistic. He doesn't look like Marvel. And again, we come back around to people complaining that the image doesn't suit what they feel like should.
Yeah. And I forget where I was even going.
Sorry.
With that. No, it's fine, because like I had this but yeah, so like, you know, anyway, whatever it was, it's a thing, you know. People will find almost like they'll find inspiration anywhere. And I've talked to, or not necessarily talked to people, but I've heard from people that have kept Loki as a focal point of their religious practice for a very long time. Like for as long as you and I've been heathen or practicing, like they've maintained and kept him, all right, as a focal point. And, you know, one of the interesting things that I've come to learn, you know, from that, is if I can find it, I'm going to look at, well, maybe not, because the ratio is a little bit off. But anyway, I was going to, I'll find it. Hold on. Yeah, here it is. They say that, you know, it's he's the unavoidable force. It's the whole like chaos thing of nature, right? Like things are going to happen no matter what, and he's just that physical representation of the unbridled, uncontrollable aspect of nature. I guess you could say that, right? In some of the stories, like it's the inevitable, right? Not to get back to Marvel or whatever, Thanos, I am inevitable. But somebody said also too that working with Loki for 10 years is he's one of the best deities I worked with, and absolutely not evil. Now that's an interesting thing to point out, is evil, mm-hmm. right? What people think of as evil, they want to associate with Loki in a lot of ways, and I'm talking like the controversy of venerating Loki, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, he's evil.
Oh right? Yeah, that was definitely something in that comment section. But first to comment on what you had said, I had my mic muted, about the change and being the natural order of things. I would agree with that. Inevitably things are going to change, and those things can sometimes be dark. They can be violent. They can be not good, you know, but change is natural and it does happen.
Yeah.
And we're just going to have to rock with it. Just like in the stories, the gods, they move on. The problem gets solved or it doesn't, and then it moves on.
Right. And I think that the evil, right, the evil thing
comes from subjectivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely, I've always said evil, good and evil is an idea of is subjective. It, you know, what one person thinks is good is something that thinks is evil. You know, there's plenty of people that, you know, thinks political moves and things are good. Other people think they're evil, and that just leads to more conflict within the community. You know, just the ideology of what is and isn't good or evil.
Yeah, when you try to universally label something like heathenry, I mean, like, and what is good or what is evil, right? I mean, granted, if you look at, and this is what I keep going back to, is like, you can't use any of the Eddas, you can't use any of the myths as your sole, you know, like, the one entire thing that you're going to base your worldview on, because they're myths, they're stories. Learn about the ethics and worldview and understand why things were viewed by these people a certain way, right? Read The Culture of the Teutons by Grönbeck, you know, and other stuff like that.
A reason I said earlier that Jackson Crawford is somebody I would trust is because he comes at it from a historical and educational point of view, and that's where I have learned the most about our culture, our history as heathens. That is where I have learned the most. It is a good thing to know your lore. It is a good thing to know the myths. It is a great thing to have parts and quotes from them so that you can use and teach lessons and explain them to your children as you're growing and as you're, but if you are using those things as a basis for telling somebody what is right and wrong, you are wrong.
And
I will die on that hill.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I've come on here plenty times and said, you know, like, I'm not here to tell you how to be a heathen, do you right. I'm not in that position. I'm just saying, like, the myths are not a basic instruction manual. They are myths.
Yep.
Case in point, right? Since we're talking about Loki today, like, one of the big arguments that I hear about why people should include Loki in their practices is it because, well, Odin said that he would not accept an offering to him if one wasn't given to Loki. And I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. What it says in Locus Senate is that Odin and Loki mingled blood at one point. There's no other reference that I've come across anywhere in the stories that we have that exist today that suggest or give any greater context as to what that looked like or what that was for, right? But he mentions in Locus Senate that they mingled their blood, right? And that if a drink is given to Odin, then a drink must be given to Loki. Mm-hmm. Okay. My whole point with that, and my whole thing with that is, like, what the hell does that have to do with me and you? That's their thing. That's you know, in the myth, that's their agreement.
It's the whole blood brothers argument. One comes with the other. And I think that is a Christianization, another one. That's, it may be vague, but I think it is, again, it is the idea of Odin God, Odin good, Loki evil. They, one must go with the other. Really? That, like, that is that's just something that I, at least in my mind, I don't really have any kind of, you know, educational material to back that idea up. It's just something that I heard it. That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, and you know, that's just how it comes off to me. I mean, if somebody comes on here and they're able to explain it a little better and a little clearer, maybe I'll accept it. Maybe you could change my mind.
I want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% open to changing my mind. If you've got an argument that you think you can change my mind with, awesome. Let's hear it. But up until then, that's how I view that, at least.
Yeah.
But I think that's also, I don't think it's an argument against it, though, either. I don't think somebody can take, well, that evidence doesn't stand, so, well, now I don't have to venerate Loki. I don't have to honor Loki at all, or you shouldn't or should not be doing that. I don't think that's something either. I don't.
Using the lore here as the opposite, right? This is what I should do because the lore says, and then the folks that will say, well, this is what I'm not going to do because of what the lore says. Right? Is that where you're kind of leaning it, or is that where you're going with it? Like the mirror opposite of the arguments? Because I've done that, you know what I mean? Like, I've gone and said, well, I'm not going to include Loki in my practices. Mm-hmm. Because he is directly affiliate, you know, he has involvement with the destruction of with Ragnarok. I mean, he does the thing that incites Ragnarok, right? The destruction of the gods and all that. And also, like, mythologically speaking, why would I want to bloat to a figure like that, right? That's been,
I think the actual answer to that, for me, at least my point, is, for my part, is that it goes back to another one of your talks, actually, I learned about from you recently, was the discussion of the hearth cult. I think that is, that's part of yours, you know? I feel like if you feel that Loki should be included, go for it. If you don't feel that Loki should be included, don't do it. I think that I feel that way about any of the deities. If you don't feel there, that's something that we do know about history, is that tribes or just individuals showed more natural affinity to certain deities. Sometimes you found Thor, sometimes you found Odin, sometimes you found Tyr, sometimes you found small little things of the elves, the fae, you know, just different stuff,
right?
Is there that we can see that they showed more affinity to than yeah. others. And that's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
And we know that they brought other deities in. In fact, we think that Odin is actually an adoption of something else. I've seen that is from historians. Is saying that the stories of Odin and are actually adopted from somewhere else, like just another tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Hence, that's been, that blew my mind. I didn't know that. I was like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah. And that's just, I mean, you can go down so many rabbit holes with like origin stories.
And again, that I think that loops us all the way back full circle again to learn, I guess my final point for that is learn from each other. Don't ridicule. Don't tell somebody they're wrong for believing the way they do. Learn why they do that. Seek to understand more rather than ridicule and criticize, and you'll be a better person for it, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You know, because we have a tendency to be like, oh, if you're using the myths as your sole guideline of the religiosity, then you're wrong. Like that's we've said it. One of us both kind of alluded to that. Like, well, you're wrong if that's what you're doing. But what we're saying is like, but why are you using the myths when there's so much other stuff that you could be learning from actually teaching you about morals and ethics? Like, why would you use stories instead of doing your homework and doing some other things, right? We might take it from an approach of like, well, that's wrong because that's not what they're intended for. It's not what they were ever meant for. It's what they've kind of been created into being over time and leveraged into being over time. That doesn't make sense to us. It seems wrong to us, right? Mm-hmm. To use mythology as the basis of our, you know, our spiritual religious practices.
And, you know, we could very well be wrong in that regard. But I think that's part of the evolution of our faith.
I think
part of the growth. Well,
absolutely. Because when you first came into, you know, heathenry, right? Germanic heathenry, Norse heathenry, whatever, right? What were that's the first thing that you encounter. One of the first things that you encounter is the stories, the mythology.
Oh, yeah. You know? The first one I felt naturally pulled to was the story of Tyr and Finrod. And the reason was for that was because I was looking for a place to put my courage, to find that. You know, I was in a place I didn't want to be. I was in, you know, I was in a war-torn country away from my ex-wife now, my wife at the time, who had my unborn child. I was there during the childbirth. I didn't get to come home for that, which, I mean, I'm not whining about it. A lot of people don't get to come home for that, but there's a whole story behind that. I won't get into it, but there was just a lot of things that happened one right after another that I was just like, where do I go now? You know, nothing that I've tried has really felt anything. And then I was really at my lowest point and I felt lost. And I read a magazine. I think it was a Smithsonian magazine. And it was talking about they had found a sword with inscriptions to Tyr on something. It was something to that regard, or a helmet.
Yeah, the Tiwaz rune.
And they found that, and I was like, what is that? It looks cool, you know, and it reminds me of, you know, Lord of the Rings. I'm, you know, oh, wow, cool. I started doing my research, and I was like, why have I never heard of this? Why have I never been taught about this? And like, the more I started getting into it, the more I was like, this is where I belong. This is my home. You know, this is what's calling to my spirit. And, you know, doing that, I found all kinds of things that really led me to look into my own ancestry and find, you know, my Scottish origins, my, you know, the Spanish origins, and just dig deep and find the materials there that were not because I needed some, look, I'm a real heathen. No, I didn't.
I'm a descendant of so-and-so. Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, I'm a descendant of Ragnar Lothbrok. No, I didn't need that. I just needed, I wanted to know. why do I feel this way? Why am I pulled to this? And that was why. It's in my blood. It's in my spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I felt so lost. And once I found that, I discovered who I am. And I think that's something that a lot of the Lokians are trying to do, is find who they are, is find a path that belongs to them, find their home. And so I don't agree with the toxicity, to, you know, cap this off. We're coming up on the hour here. So
yeah, and you can drop whenever.
To cap off my whole thing. I think that they found their home. And I don't agree with the toxicity towards them. I think we need to learn from them. I think a lot of people need to welcome these people with open arms. Understand that that's what our ancestors would have done.
I like that. You know, it's such a the landscape, you know, that you have to navigate through nowadays is so strange at times. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that it is, by and large, you know, strange. And we don't necessarily understand everything. And we're not intended to or meant to understand everything. We're
supposed to understand everything.
Right. So the way people find them, where they find themselves, we would do better to be welcoming to that degree and open to that degree, to want to learn and understand. Because who knows, maybe the things that we have in our pursuit of order, right? And folks like us who maybe don't have a place for Loki in our practices, right? We want to avoid the chaos. We want to try to keep order as much as possible, understanding that chaos is a natural element of existing. I mean, things happen that you can't control. It happens. We understand that. But having that sort of chaotic element in our lives, and trying to understand, maybe by understanding that, it gives, there's a balance that happens, right? The people that are so disassociated or disjointed, or trying to find a home or trying to find the place, and finding that place in this, you know, chaotic existence, maybe the anchor point of others can help them find that calm in the storm. And vice versa, right? We can learn from the tenacity and the ingenuity and the how fluid they can be in situations.
That brain.
Yeah. I think there's opportunity on both sides to really learn, and not to just drive a nail into it and be so definitively against it, you know, and to then in that defense become so toxic in the process, you know,
and to grow from it,
right.
That should be our end goal, bro.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, last thing I want to say, though, before I let you go, is I mentioned earlier, you know, for people to stick around towards the end, about the days of the week and Saturday and stuff. I mentioned it earlier. So here we are at the end of the podcast. You guys stick around. Here we are with it. Saturday, a day of the week that somehow along the way has become associated with Loki. And you're going to find stuff online, guys. If you go and Google it right now, you're going to find stuff online that would lead you to believe that Saturday is a day of the week that is an Old Norse day associated with Loki. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into too much great detail. I will be leaving some actually good links and things for you guys to check out in the description show notes. So come back, go down there, over here, wherever. Look it up for yourself, educate yourselves, learn in that way. I will provide those things for you, so I'll give you a bit of a heads up, a little bit of a head start. But one of the fun things to note is that Tacitus, who was a Roman historian who observed Germanic tribes that predate the Scandinavian countries, right? The old Germanic tribes in the south. Tacitus mentions in his, I think it's Germania, that, you know, the Germanic peoples did not observe time by days of the week as they did, as the Romans did. They didn't have days of the week. They reckoned time by the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. The moon and the lunisolar cycles were their gauges on when things happened, right? So they didn't necessarily have days of the week. The days of the week, the names of the days of the week that came into a 7-day week as we have it now, happened much later on, and it happened through Roman involvement. Now, Saturday being a day venerating Loki or having anything to do with Loki, it's speculated and it's deduced possibly that there's etymological words where Loki's name is cognate to a day or to a word that meant laundry, lauger, because lauger day became a day of the week where people would ritually bathe. Again, there's going to be more information. People can do their research. I'm going to find you some good source material to find information on that yourself. So check the description show notes for all of that. But I don't think we can definitively say for sure that Saturday, the day of the week, as we know it now in the, the Gregorian calendar that we're using now? Or is it the Julian calendar? Yeah. Whichever one, the Gregorian calendar that we're using now, right? Yeah, is that it had ever had at any point in time an association to Loki. So, more information on that will be down in the description and show notes of the podcast. Tyler, anything else that you want to say to the folks before you bounce off of here?
No, I think I said it all. Be kind to each other, be good to each other, learn from each other, and grow. Continue to grow and learn. That's the best way to be a heathen.
So, I agree, man. And you know, folks that are Lokians or have a place in their practice for Loki, or in their practice and have Loki as part of it, comment down below. Put your comments down below. There's going to be a poll on the podcast platform, or not a poll, but a Q&A. I'd love to hear from folks that listen to this. So be sure to check that out.
And I too, because I want to learn more. If there's something that maybe I missed or both misrepresented or something or didn't understand or spoke out about that you felt was wrong, let us know. You know, that's something if I definitely would like to learn more if that's something that you.
Absolutely. There might be somebody out here that knows something that nobody else does, and this will be the thing that gets us all educated. We'd love to hear it. Absolutely. But Tyler, thank you for taking time out of your day to come on here and chat with me about this. Thank you for suggesting the topic. Again, everybody else, check out Tyler's stuff that's going to be annotated in the show notes and description of this podcast. His podcast coming up, what's it called?
Wizardly Cowboy.
Wizardly Cowboy. And also his book on poetry. So all that stuff will be linked down there. You guys be sure to check it out. Thank you all so much for your support. And until we talk to each other again, may the gods continue to notice you. And may your ancestors smile upon you. We'll see you in the next one.